Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Friday, October 11th, and it's a feast day of John the 23rd. And I love one of his sayings. When he would get frustrated or feel overwhelmed, he would say, "Lord, it's your church. I'm tired. I'm going to bed." All right, so his name, in terms of who he was Angelo Giuseppe Roncalli, more commonly known as Pope John the 23rd. And I think if I am correct, and I'll have to ask Joni about this, but I believe he was from Bergamo. Bergamo is the northern part of Italy, not far from the Lake District, a beautiful area. And I also think Pope Paul VI, if I'm not mistaken, was from that area too. I'll have to look that up. But anyway, speaking of Italy, the other day when I mentioned my free e-newsletter from Tease Italy, TravelItalyExpert.com, 40 new folks signed up. So there you go. It's out. If you would still like a copy of it, you can just go to the website, TravelItalyExpert.com, and there will be info that will pop up. And again, it's free. Ton of content in this one, though. We even have a recipe for frittata, which is an Italian egg pie. And there's a really cute story about the head waiter at my favorite hotel in my favorite town in all of Italy. So anyway, I like to do a lot of heavy content in these newsletters because I know that there's a lot of things you could sign up for and you probably get a ton of emails already and some of the newsletters aren't very helpful or they're selling something. But even if you don't have Italy on your bucket list, I think you'll have a lot of fun with this. We have a video and we have a separate blog in there in addition to the newsletter. So there's all kinds of information and I think you'll really enjoy it. So again, TravelItalyExpert.com and it's free. All right, coming up in the program today, I am so excited. I love apologetics. My husband and I came back to the church through a non-denominational Bible study. And at the same time, we were teaching ourselves of faith. So we were reading documents, doing things at the parish level, and finding out things that we never knew growing up as Catholic. And we both became pretty hungry in terms of apologetics. And I love talking about the saints and Our Lady. And we're going to do that with Father Peter Stravinkas, and many of you know him. He's an amazing witness and writer, as well as an awesome priest. He's written a really cool piece. Actually, it was a homily, I think, that was just posted of his, a recent homily that he gave last weekend, responding to falsehoods about the Virgin Mary and the Rosary. Sometimes we get all paranoid because we don't have all the answers right away, and someone will come up to us and say, "Well, you worship Mary, or you do this, you do that," and we panic, and we don't know what to say. There's no reason for that. I mean, if anything is all about Lectio Divina, it's the Rosary. You're walking through the life of Christ. You're walking through the Gospels. Okay? It's not brain surgery. It's not rocket science. And the prayers that we say, the primary prayers on the Rosary are what? The Our Father and the Hail Mary. Where do they come from? Scripture. So there you go. Just a short little apologetics lesson. Anyhow, Father Peter will be along to talk to us and answer your questions. We'll open up the phone lines. And then I'm so excited, my paisan, Mike Aquilina. Doug Keck can't join us today, by the way. And by the way, I'm sure he's very excited about how the Yankees are doing. I'm just saying, we're both Yankees fans. Doug is a very, very busy man, and we do appreciate every time he comes on with us on Fridays, but he couldn't make it today. He'll be back with us, I'm hoping, in about 2 weeks. We're going to be chatting with Mike Aquilina. Speaking of EWTN, you know him well. He is often seen with Scott Hahn on EWTN, a wonderful author, and he has a new book out about the church and the Roman Empire. Ooh, and Mike is an expert in church history and patristics, early church fathers. So can't wait to talk to Mike Aquilina and take your calls as well. Alrighty then, let's get to the news. There is a lot of it on a Friday morning, and we will open up the phone lines for questions at about 12 minutes past the hour on a Friday morning. While more fetal remains found in vehicles owned by the late Indiana abortionist Ulrich Klopfer just weeks after the remains of more than 2,200 aborted babies were first discovered at his Illinois residence, the White House continues to call for a full investigation into this very disturbing matter. Bishop Nicholas DiMarzio of Brooklyn has begun his apostolic visitation of the Diocese of Buffalo, the Apostolic Nunciature to the U.S., releasing a statement underscoring the process is non-judicial and non-administrative, meaning at this point, no formal charges are currently being considered against the Bishop of Buffalo, Bishop Richard Malone. German authorities say the man accused of killing two people outside that synagogue on Yom Kippur earlier this week apparently wanted to instigate more attacks. The president of Germany's Central Council of Jews says a locked door in the synagogue prevented a massacre. As many as 80 worshipers were in the synagogue when the man actually tried to get in. The area is about 100 miles southwest of the city of Berlin. Mark Mayfield explains that President Trump says it's time to bring U.S. troops home from overseas.
We were supposed to be in Syria for 30 days. We've now been there for 10 years. We were supposed to be in Afghanistan for a short period of time. We're now going to be there for close to 19 years. It's time to bring them home.
At a rally in Minnesota, Trump defended withdrawing U.S. troops from northern Syria, allowing Turkey to move its forces into the region. Trump noted that Turkey is now waging battle against Kurdish forces, which fought alongside the U.S. against ISIS. Trump suggested that he could broker a deal between Turkey and the Kurds. He also said U.S. military action in the Middle East has made the region less safe and unstable, while the U.S. has paid dearly in soldiers' lives and resources.
Several hundred rioters, meanwhile, attacking supporters of the president during his huge rally in Minnesota last night. The rally in Minneapolis, though, the capacity crowd there passed without serious incident. General Motors says it wants around-the-clock contract talks with the United Auto Workers to resolve the strike that began almost a month ago on September 15th. That following a meeting this week between the General Motors CEO, Mary Barra, and union officials with the Center for Automotive Research's Kristen Dechek, viewing this as an indication things could be heating up.
This is a super important thing to General Motors, and, you know, she's the CEO, and getting involved in it is, I think, a positive sign.
The desire for 24-hour negotiations comes in a letter from the automaker's vice president of labor relations, Scott Sander, to the UAW. That letter sent yesterday. Despite precautionary efforts by power companies to shut off electricity during strong Santa Ana winds, Phil Hewlett reports several wildfires are burning in the state of California.
The largest fire in the state is burning near Yosemite. The 4,900-acre Briceburg fire is 28% contained. North of Los Angeles, the Saddle Ridge fire broke out last night and has quickly grown to 1,600 acres. Several homes have burned. 1,900 families in the Northridge area have been evacuated. Freeways in and around the Santa Clarita Valley are closed. Smaller fires are also burning in Newberry Park, Moreno Valley, and Banning.
High tides are bringing minor flooding to the coastal communities on Long Island on the East Coast. Last night, for example, the tides flooded several streets and flood-prone neighborhoods, leaving some drivers stranded, and those in the area say driving there is a nightmare, basically.
It's been very bad. The tides are up now.
It's been a little crazy. The water's been higher than usual. So, I mean, we usually get bad during high tides, but today it's been exceptionally high.
Things will start to dry out today, and a nice weekend is expected with partly sunny skies and a high around 67 degrees. Republican Senator Mitt Romney saying it's time to eliminate a group of products that he feels helps make vaping more attractive to young people.
No more of these candy flavors that are so attractive to kids. If adults want to use vaping products, then let them have the normal flavor of tobacco.
Romney holding a roundtable discussion yesterday with Utah leaders seeking ways to curb vaping. Representatives from the state legislature discussing plans to create a program to educate teens about the dangers of vaping. Romney is part of a bipartisan push in the U.S. Senate to place restrictions and additional taxes on the vaping industry to put their products on the same level as tobacco. And Brian Shook tells us there is now a new call for Uber and Lyft drivers to be fingerprinted.
A Connecticut senator said Thursday that he's written to both ride-sharing companies demanding more be done to protect riders. He says not only are reports of sexual assaults disregarded, but those drivers are still behind the wheel. Lyft responded by arguing fingerprint background checks rely on arrest records rather than convictions. Uber does daily checks instead.
A potentially historic October winter storm is bringing snow and record cold to the northern Rockies and northern plains. A National Weather Service saying the storm could hit parts of up to 10 states. Up to half of a foot of snow had fallen on parts of Colorado by yesterday afternoon after Denver, get this, set a temperature drop record for the month of October. They had a high of 83 on Wednesday And then yesterday morning, it dropped down to 19 degrees. Wow. In South Dakota, Rapid City already measuring 8 inches of snow yesterday morning. And the Weather Service says the Dakotas, well, our friends there could be seeing a crippling blizzard. Those conditions expected over the weekend. And the NFL is releasing a Tackle Can Wait video, as Sarah Lee Kessler reports, that will try to steer children under the age of 14 into playing flag football instead of tackle football.
The public service announcement is produced by the Concussion Legacy Foundation and compares smoking to tackle football.
Tackle football is like smoking. The younger I start, the longer I'm exposed to danger.
A video that accompanies the ad says that tackle football, which has been linked to chronic traumatic encephalopathy, CTE, is incredibly dangerous to the developing brain. Sarah Lee Kessler, New York.
Do hope your Friday is going well. Thanks for listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question, if you would like to join our program and our discussions, feel free. The phone number is 877-573-7825. Again, 877-573-7825. A great homily by our next guest, Father Peter Stravinkas, author, wonderful priest, and his homily posted on Catholic World Report, responding to falsehoods about the Virgin Mary and the Rosary. A very, very good topic, because this is a month of our Blessed Mother and the Rosary, and we'll talk about that with Father Peter, up next. Again, if you have a question or would like to share maybe how you've explained the rosary to a friend or someone you're close to, that number again, 877-573-7825. Thanks to listening to EWTN, and we'll be right back.
Beth, why is our health insurance so expensive? Our premium and deductible are so high. Plus, I don't want my family to support a company that doesn't share our values.
Kim, there is another option. Check out CMF Curo. It's an affordable Catholic healthcare ministry where members share their medical costs in community, and it's pro-life. We joined last year and have saved thousands, all without compromising our values. Just go to MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
CMF Curo sounds exactly like what our family needs.
Yeah, that's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
I would always hear from different people at non-Catholic churches that Catholics were going to hell or that they really didn't know who the Lord was. The Catholic Church is not all what people say it is. I mean, it's completely different. There's so many stereotypes. It's very possible to know the Lord, and it's very possible to have a relationship with God in the Catholic Church. I believe I was born into the Catholic Church, and that's where I belong.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church, visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at AveMariaRadio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
You've seen and heard him many, many times on my show, Al's show, all over EWTN. The wonderful priest, a great writer, the editor of the Catholic Response, the author of over 500 articles or numerous Catholic publications, as well as several books, including The Catholic Church and the Bible and Understanding the Sacraments. Father Peter Stravinkas is on the phone with us, and he's in Rome, and he joins us. Thanks. I know you're very, very busy and over in the Eternal City right now. And the piece that is on the Catholic World Report is actually a homily you gave, Father, recently on the Rosary and the Catholic Response. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. Or should I say good afternoon, because you're in Italy.
Good afternoon here. 6 hours difference.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so what prompted you? I mean, obviously this is, you know, we dedicate this month to the Rosary and so much having to do with Our Lady. Powerful homily. What do you think that we need to do as Catholics to, first of all, better understand this gift of the Rosary?
Well, I mean, first of all, I'm here in Rome for the canonization of Cardinal Newman, who I think has the best formula for reforming the church at this moment. In terms of Marian devotion, it's interesting, as a typical Protestant, had an aversion to think Marian. And as people know about Newman, who know about Newman, know that he studied his way into the church, and he did that through the fathers of the church. And his anti-Marian and anti-Roman biases were eliminated precisely by studying the fathers of the church. And he discovered with Ignatius of Antioch and Polycarp that this understanding of the position of Our Lady in the economy of salvation was from the earliest fathers of the church, the earliest Christian writers. Second century already, you have these issues being discussed. But also, Newman, as an Anglican, was very proud of what he thought was apostolic succession, namely a succession of bishops in the church, independent of the Church of Rome. And he discovered, by studying the Nicene Fathers, so the Fathers leading up to and including the Council of Nicaea in 325, that they understood the church to be the Church of Rome. And he said, so I'm looking to discover the apostolic church in the 18th century, the 19th century, to the only place that existed was the Church of Rome. And so his Mariology became that of the Catholic Church, and his ecclesiology, contrary to what he wanted to do with the Oxford movement. The Oxford movement was what he invented. He called the Via Media, middle way between radical Protestantism and absolutely what he thought was almost pagan Romanism. He thought he had forged this middle way. And he said, by studying the fathers of the church, his word is that view was pulverized. And so he wrote his famous essay on the development of doctrine as a Protestant still. And within 6 months of that document...
Oops, I think we lost you, Father. There you go. Okay. Yeah, we lost you for a second. Go ahead.
He became a Catholic, the virtuous fathers of the church. And I think it's important to understand that churches, which is to say the Orthodox, because they're real churches, they have a valid priesthood and episcopate, churches that have a high Mariology have a high ecclesiology. Ecclesial communities, as Vatican II called them, that are not really churches, but have elements of the true church within them, who have a low Mariology, have a low ecclesiology. And why? Because as Paul VI discovered, or declared, rather, at the third session of Vatican II, Mary is mother of the church. So what you say about Mary, you say about the church. So Mary is the Immaculate Virgin, the church. Mary is a mother, so is the church, and so on. And Newman is, for all things, the key to the renewal of the church in the 21st century.
Well, in addition to reading your homily, which is posted in an article format on CatholicWorldReport.com, which we'll make available on our archive section, what else, in addition, and you mentioned John Henry Newman, who's going to be canonized, what else should we be reading and looking at in order to understand the Rosary and explain it to others, do you think, Father?
Well, Newman lived in a very, what he called, perilous moment in the life of the Catholic Church in the 19th century, but he predicted in a sermon he preached in 1873 for the opening of the only first Catholic seminary in England after the Reformation, he preached a sermon called The Coming Age of Infidelity. And he predicted that a moment was coming on to the historical scene that he said that Christianity has never faced before. And he called it the age of infidelity, by which he meant, in the English of that time, non-belief. And he said, never before has the Christian church faced an historical social moment where people didn't believe. He said, you know, we can laugh at the Greek and Roman gods, you know, 3,000 of them in the pantheon. He said, but people had a transcendental horizon. He said, a moment is coming, and again, remember, he's preaching this in 1873, when people will not have any transcendental horizon whatsoever. They will be, for the first time, total atheists. And he said to the seminarians, again, 1873, that you will have a pastoral ministry unparalleled in the history of the church, and how much more difficult this will ever be. And, of course, this is exactly what he was a little ahead of the curve.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't happen on his time frame. There was still, in Protestantism in England, a strong remnant of classical Christianity, more or less. But by the beginning of the 20th century, that had all evaporated. And so, the irony is that between Catholics and Anglicans in the 19th century, on all of the moral issues, we would have been completely united. So, divorce and remarriage, ironically, Henry started the church because of divorce, but the Anglican church didn't permit it. Birth control, abortion, let alone things no one ever dreamt of in those days, same-sex unions and so forth. On all of those issues, we were closer to each other in the 19th century than we are in the 21st century. What's the fundamental reason? Precisely what Newman predicted, namely that we're dealing with a lack of a transcendental horizon. Moral theology, morality, is whatever I make it to be.
Right.
And there we are.
And speaking of Newman with his roots over in England and Great Britain, I saw an article, speaking of this, a shocking article, not so shocking, but shocking in the sense of just what you mentioned, Father, and the
surprising
lack of morality. Yeah, surprising, I think it's a better word, where there is a court case that ruled against a British doctor because he refused to call a male patient who was like 6'4" with a beard and dressed as a woman, refused to use the word female when addressing him, referred to him as a male. And the court came back and said that this is a religion to people. This transgender is a religion and therefore has to be respected. Otherwise, you're violating religious freedom. So what you were just saying in terms of making ourselves into, trying to make ourselves into God and to create and to substituting this lie.
You know, God made us in his own image, and now we're trying to make him into our image.
Right. All right, so read Newman, ask for his intercession. What else? What's another great resource to understand the rosary better, do you think, Father, before we let you go?
John Paul's apostolic letter, Rosarium Beata Virginis. He gives a wonderful analysis of the rosary, Paul VI, Marialis Cultus, both of those documents give a very, very strong, biblically based, understanding of the place of Our Lady in the economy of salvation. And I have found that dealing even with fundamentalist Christians, when you present, Mary, in particular, to them in these modes, they find it very exciting. You can probably hear we have Roman sirens going off at the moment, so people are entering into the city of Rome with me. But those two documents, I think, are wonderful. And Chapter 8 of Lumen Gentium, to Constitution on the Church, the place of Mary, again, in the life of the Church. So all of those three are excellent documents to study. I recommend they be used in adult education programs, in Catholic high schools, for, you know, courses in Catholic doctrine. They're very comprehensible, and they're very powerful statements about the importance. And I always say, in terms of a biblical understanding of Our Lady, if you look at the Gospel of John, the public ministry of our Lord begins with chapter 9, and it's his first sign at Cana,
which is worked at the behest of his mother.
Yep.
The gospel, his earthly life ends in John chapter 19, where he commits the beloved disciple, John, but John as beloved disciple, therefore representative of every brother to the end of time, he commits to his care and vice versa, her becoming the mother of the beloved disciples. And so a very powerful statement about the place of honor. Look carefully at John 19. After he says, behold your mother, behold your son, John then says, and now, knowing that everything was accomplished, he said, it is finished.
It is finished. Father, we're out of time. Thank you so much, and safe travels throughout Roma, and we look forward to hearing more about the canonization of Cardinal Newman, and we'll be right back on Catholic Connection, 877-573-7825.
Stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are
completely... As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
In 2017, we filed a federal civil rights lawsuit against the city of Sterling Heights, Michigan, and its mayor, alleging violations of federal and state law. The lawsuit was filed on behalf of seven city residents who opposed the construction of a large mosque in their Chaldean Christian neighborhood. It was evident then, as it is now, that the American Islamic Community Center, or AICC, wanted to plant the flag in this community of Christians who fled Islamic persecution in Iraq. In February 2017, the city decided not to defend against the specious claims of discrimination made by AICC and the Obama Department of Justice in their lawsuits filed against the city, but instead to capitulate and enter into a consent judgment that granted AICC permission to build the mosque, even though doing so violated local and state zoning regulations. The decision to enter into the consent judgment was made during a city council meeting in which the mayor enforced a speech restriction that prohibited private citizens, including our clients, from making any comments that the mayor deemed critical of Islam in direct violation of the First Amendment. The district court ruled in favor of the city in an opinion fraught with egregious errors. A three-judge panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals affirmed on August 14th of this year. We promptly filed a petition asking the entire Sixth Circuit to take up this important case. I'm Robert Muse, co-founder and senior counsel for the American Freedom Law Center, bringing you this Faith and Freedom Minute. You can learn more about the American Freedom Law Center and its fight for your faith and freedom by visiting our website and liking us on Facebook.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
John chapter 11, verses 21 to 26. This is the story of Lazarus. Lazarus has died. Lazarus is one of his best friends. Just before this passage, we hear the news that Martha and Mary send word to Jesus that the one you love is sick. And the next line in the scripture is, now because Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus, he stayed where he was. His friend's in need. He can heal. They've seen him heal before. And yet somehow, because he loves him, he stays. And Lazarus dies. And then Jesus shows up 3 days later and is greeted by Martha and Mary, who confront him with the words, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would never have died. Rather applicable for many of us in our lives. We ask the Lord to do one thing because we're certain it is what we think is best, when in fact he has something which far surpasses what we ask for. Challenge is, in waiting for that to happen, we go through very trying times, which oftentimes makes us wonder, does he really care?
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. Wanted to speak with Father Peter a little bit longer, but we had a bad cell phone connection. He's in Rome for the canonization of Cardinal Newman. We will put the link up to his wonderful homily that was put in article form, a Catholic World Report responding to falsehoods about the Virgin Mary and the Rosary. And that was on Catholic World Report. You can do a search for it. It was posted on October 7th, so just about 4 days ago. It should still be on the homepage of a wonderful website, CatholicWorldReport.com. Coming up after we chat a little bit more about apologetics and what I've learned over the years, Mike Aquilina is going to be joining us, and I love his work. His latest book is published by Ave Maria Press. You see him regularly and hear him on EWTN with Dr. Scott Hahn. His latest book is The Church and the Roman Empire. and looking back at what Rome was like, the church, Constantine, so much history and so much power. And Mike knows all about that. He's an expert in the early church fathers and can't wait, and church history, can't wait to talk to him. So I just wanted to encourage you to be not afraid, as Pope St. John Paul II has said to us so many times, and our Lord has said to us in the Gospels, be not afraid, be not afraid. And oftentimes we do get challenged as Catholics, and we think that we have to have the answer right away. If someone comes up to you and says, oh, you are idol worshippers, or you worship Mary, or you re-sacrifice Jesus at the cross every week, and all these different questions that we often get. And look at that as an opportunity, not as an obstacle. Because the more we are questioned, hopefully we would go back to Scripture and to all the fantastic apologetic material we have available to us now. For example, listening to Catholic Answers Live every night right here on DW10, to come to know our faith and to be able to answer it from Scripture. And I want to share an interesting experience that I had. For 2 years after I left the secular media, I worked at a very big local evangelical station here in the area in metropolitan Detroit. The same station, by the way, that Al Krester worked at before he came back into the church and began Ave Maria Radio some 25 years ago. And I had a morning show called Christian Talk with Teresa Tomeo. And I was one of, I think at that time, two Catholics working in that particular station. I was the only Catholic on the air. And I could talk about my belief in Jesus, but I couldn't talk about my Catholic faith, which I thought was highly discriminatory, but that's a whole other story. Anyway, I used to get a lot of challenges from listeners, a lot of emails and letters from anti-Catholics. And at the studio itself, there were several folks who left the Catholic Church for whatever reason, and Lord only knows, maybe they thought it was the best thing for them, so we're not judging them, but they were not taught the faith accurately. And I knew this from the way they approached me and made fun of the Catholic faith and insulted the Blessed Virgin and said some very negative things and made some very false assumptions, and such as, you worship Mary, she's a god to you, you re-sacrifice Jesus on the cross every week. And I knew they were wrong. And I could answer and address some of their questions, but not as well as I had hoped to. So I dove more deeply into Scripture. I was in a non-denominational Bible study at the time. And interestingly enough, when you're working at a non-Catholic radio station, if you're working at a Christian station, Catholic publishers normally don't send books there because they know they're not going to pay attention to them, or they're going to mock them, or maybe even try to tear them apart on the air, which I also saw, which I thought was very disrespectful, but again, I digress. However, for some reason, when I was going through these challenges, I received a copy addressed personally to me of Jeff Caven's book. Now, remember, Jeff is a wonderful Bible study teacher and has done so much great apologetics work. Powerful reversion story that he has. And his first book was My Life on the Rock, A Rebel Returns to the Catholic Church. And so he tells his story of meeting Mother Angelica, coming back to the church, and then he has a whole great apologetics. Chapter after chapter full of what he learned about the faith that he didn't know growing up. So I received that book literally out of the blue. And I don't know if I ever told Jeff this story or not, but I thought of it as such a miracle because it came to me at a time when I was saying, I want to be able to answer these questions from Scripture. And this book came and it was like, there you go, right here. So what I want to tell you is don't be afraid if you don't have the answers right away. But certainly take the time to get the answers. I remember one woman wrote me, this is a couple of years ago, wrote me here at Catholic Connection, and she said, well, I've got a friend, or it was a friend or a cousin or somebody who says that we do this and we do that, and I'm really busy, so please answer all these questions and write it back to me, and then I'll send it to her. And I wrote her back, and I said, if you want to be able to defend the faith, you need to do more than just write someone and ask for the answers. I said, I'm going to give you some great links, and I'm going to have you do your homework, because it's the only way you're going to learn on your own. What does it mean if you just, you know, quote this and don't understand it? She wasn't very happy. She said she was busy, and I wrote her back, and I said, well, I'm not exactly, sweetie, sitting around eating bonbons, you know, and twiddling my thumbs. I said it a lot nicer than that, but that's what I was thinking, I have to say. She wasn't happy because she just wanted the quick answers and wanted to be able to get her friend or her relative off her back. We have got to be willing As Father Peter said in his homily last weekend, we have got to be willing to dig in and dig in more deeply and to be not afraid, because as John Martinoni, the great apologist, always says, and he told me this years ago, Teresa, there's nothing in the Catholic Church that contradicts Scripture, and there's nothing in Scripture that contradicts the Catholic Church. We gave the world the Bible. Where do you think it comes from? And so don't be afraid. And if someone says, well, everything has to be in the Bible, where does it say that? And they normally point to the verse where it says all Scripture is useful and instructive for teaching. Okay, fine, we agree with that. Doesn't say only Scripture. And our Protestant brothers and sisters have beautiful traditions. Beautiful traditions, such as altar calls and Wednesday services and the sinner's prayer. Those are non-biblical traditions. So be not afraid, because the Catholic Church, I guess you can use the analogy of the Prego spaghetti sauce commercial, those of us who are old enough to remember it, it's all in there. We don't have to be fearful of it, and we don't worship Our Lady. She's our Queen Mother, she's a Theotokos, the Mother of God, right? But she is our intercessor. And what did she say? And this is what the women in the new evangelization is all built around, right? What does she say to Jesus before he performs, as Father Peter just said, his first miracle? Do whatever he tells you. Our Lady is always pointing to her Son, to the Mass, to the Eucharist, her Son, not to herself. She reflects the light of God because she is the Theotokos. Don't be afraid. It's all in there. Just dig in deeply and study it, and it will be so exciting for you, and you will be addicted to apologetics, and that's a good, healthy addiction. We'll be right back.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I usually am operating on the gifts of the Holy Spirit when I don't feel well, even when I'm annoyed, when I'm down and out. During my recovery from the automobile accident, immense numbers of people wrote to me and sent me emails, 50,000, and they told me how helpful they thought my talks on EWTN were to them. I'm delighted. But I want you to know, I'm nobody's fool. The talks that were helpful, the sentences that were helpful, the phrases that were helpful, came from the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Styrofoam packaging came from me. I did that. And Styrofoam doesn't amount to very much.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
You know, maybe we need to ask ourselves, do we really know Jesus? Maybe another way to ask that would be, how familiar are you with the Gospels? When I was living in D.C., I was on the plane taking a late flight home, sitting next to a young girl. She was probably 16, 17. I had my collar on, and we got talking, and she said, somehow in the course of the conversation, she acknowledged that she was running away from home and was in the midst of an awful lot of difficulties that were going on. Her story seemed to be remarkably akin to the story of the prodigal son, which we just heard this past Sunday at Mass, huh? And so I started to speak a little bit about that with her. And I said, you sound a little bit like the younger son in the story of the prodigal son. And she looked at me like I was from Mars. And I said, are you not familiar with the story of the prodigal son? And she says, no, never heard it. And I just looked at her and I says, oh my goodness, are you in for a wonderful evening?
Connection. Let's open up the phone lines if you'd like to chat with our friend Mike Aquilina, author, speaker, and well-known EWTN host and apologist, church history expert. Really doesn't need any introduction, but that's just a little bit of his background. Michael, good to talk to you again.
Be back. Thanks for having me.
All right, so this is exciting. I love talking about church history, as you do, and this latest book from our friends at Ave Maria Press is part of a series, correct? Explain, please.
It is part of a series. My book is the Church and the Roman Empire, and it covers the years 301 to 490. But it's part of a series that will cover all of Christian history from the beginning until the year 2000, reclaiming Catholic history.
All right, so I love this description. Just let me share it with our listeners. And by the way, if you'd like to chat with Mike, the phone lines are open. I'd like to join the conversation, 877-573-7825. The history of the Catholic Church is often clouded by myth, misinformation, and missing pieces. Today, there is a renewed interest in recovering the true history of the Church, correcting the record in the wake of centuries of half-truths and noble lies. And these books in the Reclaiming Catholic History series are edited by you, Mike Aquilina, and written by leading authors and historians, bringing church history to life, debunking the myths one era at a time. This is fantastic because there are so many myths, unfortunately, Mike, and you know this probably better than anyone, that so many people, even Catholics, have accepted as reality versus fake news.
That's right. I mean, there's misinformation out there. There's intentional disinformation out there, and that's been the case since the time of the Reformation. A lot of mainstream history, especially in the English-speaking world, is openly anti-Catholic. You know, the whole project is to prove that the Catholic Church is illegitimate, is full of bad intentions and worse execution. So that's what we're taught in our grade schools, in our high schools, in our colleges. But there's been a movement against that, you know, especially now that you find fewer actual Christians out there in academia. There are people who are looking at the record more objectively, and they're vindicating the Catholic position in many of these ages down through history. What we're trying to do with this series is take all of that good research, all of that good vindication that's going on, and make it accessible to ordinary people, ordinary readers outside academia, outside the universities. And we're trying to do it by telling good stories, because that's what history is. It's not memorizing dates and names, you know, the things that made us miserable in high school. It's not that at all. It's a good story.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's go back to the book itself and talk about that period, the Church and the Roman Empire. What would you say, do you think, are some of the common myths about that particular time in church history?
I'd say the dominant one is that Constantine somehow invented Christianity as we know it, or invented Catholicism especially. You know, you'll hear people say that it was Constantine who invented the Catholic liturgy. Well, that's baloney. We have evidence of the Catholic liturgy as we practice it today, more or less, same structure, same form, going back to the first century. You know, all of that was well in place long before Constantine was born. You'll sometimes also hear that Constantine wrote the Bible or created the table of contents for the Bible, and that's not true, because all of those books were in place long before Constantine was born again, and the table of contents was pretty well settled by the end of the 100s.
Right.
Constantine didn't come around until the 300s. You know, that's when he took the throne. So a lot of the myths kind of swirl around Constantine. You'll also hear that he imposed Christianity on the empire, which is not true, because Constantine actually was the one who invented religious freedom. He invented religious liberty, and he just wanted everybody to get along, whether you were Christian or pagan or Jew or whatever. He just wanted you to get along with one another. And so he imposed these guarantees that your conscience would be respected. And that's the first time we find those ideas codified in law in all of history.
All right, what other rumor or myth that became the perception of reality for so many people down the years, starting with that particular area in this latest book for Reclaiming the History, do you think?
Well, I'm sorry.
What's another myth from that time, do you think?
Okay,
big one?
All right. Well, you know, you also have a lot of myths kind of swirling around the Council of Nicaea, that again, it wasn't Constantine, but it was this council that somehow invented the Catholic Church. And once again, that is not true. The council was confirming the apostolic tradition about the Trinity, about the incarnation of our Lord, in opposition to this heresy that was arising and taking over the world. It was this fad that was just overwhelming the church almost as soon as the church became legal. So there's a lot of misinformation, as I said. There's a lot of disinformation, and these books in this series, and my book is the first to come out in the series, will go about debunking those myths.
And unfortunately, sometimes when I advise people on Italy, I say be careful of the guides that you hire to take you, even to places like the Forum or the Colosseum, because they do not tell the truth about what happened to Christians in early church history and early Christianity. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. You know, they are coming out of that university system that was really created as anti-Catholic by either secularists or by Protestants who had an axe to grind against the Catholic Church. And so we find myths perpetuated about every age in history. You know, my little slice of history covers a couple of centuries, 301 to 490, but we find similar myths about the very early church, and my friend Jim Papandrea will address those in his book, which will be out this fall, about, you know, that will be the first chronologically in this series. And we even have myths about very recent history in the church. You know, this myth of Hitler's Pope, for example, that you know, Hitler was in cahoots with Pius XII. Well, Hitler considered Pius XII to be his mortal enemy, you know, and one of the most dangerous people for the Third Reich on Earth, you know. But these myths are manufactured usually by propaganda departments, and they find legs in academia, mm-hmm. because sometimes the most credulous people are academics. Sometimes the most credulous people are the most educated.
Yeah, and it's so frustrating, too, because there's so much evidence to the contrary that you're pulling together in this series, and it's so helpful for us if we really dig in. We had a guide a couple of years ago when Deacon Dom and I were down in Puglia. We were in Otranto, you know, the famous Church of the Martyrs. And so this guide starts out by saying, this was his exact line. Well, I'm sure you've heard what the Catholics and church history says. Let me tell you my version of what happened here. And I looked at him and I said, okay, sir, before you go ahead, I just want to say what I do for a living, and my husband is a deacon in the Catholic Church, so we're very familiar with the reality of the situation here, so let's stick to the program, especially if you want a tip. So he says, oh, okay.
You know, I have found myself in the same situation. One time I was in the Vatican, and I was behind, you know, this is in the Vatican, and I'm kind of walking behind a group that was there and listening to what their guide was telling them.
Yeah.
And mostly this was about recent history, and the guy just got all of it wrong, and not only did he get it wrong, but of course he slanted it so that the church ends up looking ridiculous.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that Catholics don't make themselves look ridiculous. I spend a lot
of time.
Right,
we don't need any help. We do a pretty good job of it ourselves.
You don't need to make up these stories. You know,
right.
There's plenty of them in history. And that's one thing about the series, is that we do acknowledge the faults and the mistakes and the missteps, even of the saints, because the saints are sinners just like
right.
us. We're all called to be saints, even though we're all sinners. And this is true of all of the great figures through human history. One of the great figures in my book, The Church and the Roman Empire, is Saint Jerome, who was an irascible character, who didn't get along with anyone, who mm-hmm. insulted the other saints who were his contemporaries, and he had quite a reputation
right.
for this.
Right,
so,
right.
So we don't need to shy away from that. It doesn't disprove Christianity to acknowledge that the saints are sinners.
But what's so frustrating, and I know you appreciate this, and both of us have a true love for our motherland, Italy, and the beauty of the churches and the history of the church, and one that when you go to Italy, I had an email from a gentleman yesterday, very nice, was asking me some questions of what I thought about some things that are going on in his parish, and he said that he felt his pastor was taking him backward, and the church is becoming like those churches built for the hierarchy in Rome. And I'm like, excuse me? And so I wrote him back, and I haven't heard back from him. I was very nice. I said, sir, have you been to Rome? Have you seen the major basilicas? Have
yeah.
you been to other churches, such as Santa Maria Sopra Minerva? Have you seen how many people flock, thousands of people every day go to see the religious art and to worship, and the pilgrims over the centuries that came? These churches were built to glorify God.
And not
where
that,
did you get this idea? But he was so serious that these churches that are in Europe, especially in Rome, were built just for the bishops.
No, the poor know that these are their churches. Okay, great art will be produced. Where will it be? If it's not in the churches, it's going to be in the homes of the very wealthy, mm-hmm. and it will, or it will be in a museum where you have to pay money to see it. When it's in the churches, it's there to glorify God.
Absolutely.
And the poor know that they have ownership of this just by membership in the church, and that it belongs to them. You know, people are scandalized sometimes when they visit churches in Central America and South America, and you find gorgeous churches with rich works of art in very poor villages. But the people there are so proud of their church, which they built.
Right.
And it's theirs. And if you took that church and sold its entire interior, as I said before, it would all end up in the homes of the wealthy. It would not be used to glorify God. It would be used to adorn their walls and match their decor. And the poor would no longer have it, and it might feed them for a week. That's right. About all.
And Michael, think about, and this is what I told this man, I said, think about all the people that show up to see this art. I have seen on-the-spot conversions and reversions and leading
yes.
pilgrimages, or people who have experienced a Sistine Chapel for the first time, or walking into St. Peter's and bursting into tears. I mean, there's a meaning for every single sculpture, every single mosaic, and the story of the artists, the Berninis and the Michelangelos and their own faith journeys, and what happened to them in the process, or you know, any one of the artists, and Liz Lev does a great job of explaining this. If you ever have her for a guide, she's like
Absolutely.
Phenomenal.
She's the best.
And she writes in Magnificat. And why in Magnificat each month do they picture on the cover a beautiful piece of religious art, and then explain it, and what the artist was thinking, and the artist's own faith journey. So this is what's so beautiful about the Catholic faith and the history, and that's why what you're doing in this series is so important.
We own it. You and I and everybody on my block here in Bridgeville, Pennsylvania, and on your block, we own all of this. It's our common inheritance. The history, the art, everything that is Catholic is ours. And that's why we need to reclaim it. We need to recover the sense of joy in what we've been given through the history of the church. You know, I'm not saying that there are not sinners in every age. We have to acknowledge all that. But we have a way of understanding even those things that are most scandalous. We can own all of history, and we can love it, and it makes us even happier that we're Catholic.
Yeah, exactly. Every time I go back to St. Peter's, I never get tired of it. I see those arms, those arches, you know, and the pillars, and I just
yes.
hug it and I touch it, and that's my history. That's our history as
it
Catholics.
Is. It's a great sense. My favorite thing when I go over is to go to Ostia Antica. Which
I love Ostia Antica. That's phenomenal.
You know,
yeah.
You go there, and that's where Augustine said
yep.
farewell to his mother. Monica.
Yep.
And so I go
mm-hmm.
to those sites, and I read those passages aloud from his confessions where his mother was dying, and he was by her bedside, and she was talking about how she had prayed for 17 years for his conversion. These are our family stories, and they're real. They took place at a point you can identify in the timeline, and in a place you can still visit today. This is so, the thing that's so exciting about being Catholic. It's
Amen.
Not disembodied. It's not theoretical. It's real, and it's our family history.
And everything that we have in the faith is embodying who we are in terms of the importance of the body, because of the incarnation. The body physically is important, so the Catholic faith embraces all of that, all of the senses. And when you go to a place like Poland or Rome or any of these places that have so many beautiful churches, you just embrace that and you look at the history. Mike, I could talk to you forever, which means you have to come back on because we're out of time. Thank you. Okay, thank you so much. How do we get the series?
Go to Ave Maria Press, or you can check my website, fathersofthechurch.com.
Amen. Mike Aquilina, fathersofthechurch.com, for more information on the latest in a series of reclaiming church history. This book, The Church and the Roman Empire. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company, and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Everyday living. Effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Fund. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The EWTN home video highlight for October is the EWTN Family Celebration from Denver, Colorado. John Ed Williams, Father Mitch Pacwa, Dr. David Anders, Father Innocent, Father Augustino, and Father Angelus show us how faith can move mountains. Order your DVD at EWTNRC.com 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or call 1-800-854-6316.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. The Catholic faith has enemies. We're Catholics. We have enemies. They are a danger to the faith. And yet we're called to defend the faith, to instruct the ignorant, and to love our enemies. These enemies abuse divine revelation. They abuse science and religion. They abuse our history and our past. They abuse power and wealth. We have to learn how to deal with our enemies by picking up a copy of my book, Dangers to the Faith. You can find it online at AveMariaRadio.net.
I could talk about church history forever, seriously. And get yourself over to Rome and Poland, and if you can in your lifetime, in the Holy Land. It's phenomenal to see what we have in the Catholic faith. Okay, we're out of time. Andrew's telling me to wrap it up. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you on a Monday morning. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.